Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and we have another one of those fantastic Monday shows for you and a very blessed Advent ongoing to you and your family. Hope your Advent is progressing happily and that, well, boy, it's exciting. Only a week from today is the big day, is Christmas Day. I can remember being younger and I would just be insane with anticipation by this point. Can't even wait another week. I think in most places, kids are already out of school. Very happy to have you all with us. If you are young and usually in school at this time, happy to have you joining us for this time. Next hour, we'll have Carlo Broussard here with us. We're going to talk about the whys of Catholic faith. This time, we do a little bit of science and philosophy and religion all mixed together. Dr. Stacy Trisenkos is our guest as we talk about free will. And Dr. Trisenkos, you picked this because, well, one, there's a great scientific controversy about whether free will even exists. But you gave it a kind of a Christmas theme with being good girls and boys, that because we are enjoined to be we're told to be good girls and boys this time of year to avoid the coal in our stockings. But if we don't have any free will, none of that even matters. Dr. Stacy Trisenkos, thanks for being with us today on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, thank you so much for having me back on.
For those who don't know, you are the author of many articles and books, a couple of books, but most recently, Particles of Faith, A Catholic Guide to Navigating Science. Dr. Trisenkos is also a PhD in chemistry and used to work. Wait, what's the chemical company you used to work for? I always forget if it's Dow or DuPont. Dow.
DuPont.
Oh, I went wrong. are those like terrible competitors? Is it like really bad? Like I just called you a Eagles fan.
No.
If you're a Cowboys fan. No. Okay. All right.
No, it's okay.
Right. But now you have a master's degree in theology from Holy Apostles College. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So has modern science shown us that we don't really have a free will? We're just determined by the arrangement of the molecules, the atoms within us.
Yes, there are. That is one of the questions I get asked a lot, like how to sort that out, because we know as Catholics that we can't just say we're just particles and that's it. We're not just meat. Our brains aren't just meat. But there are notable scientists who have come to that conclusion and promote it, and it causes a lot of confusion. I think most prominently is Dr. Sam Harris, who has the book, and he writes about free will being an illusion. Dr. Victor Stenger, who's passed away, he wrote, since as far as physics is concerned, we are all just particles, it would seem to make free will an illusion. And even Stephen Hawking had said that we're just biological machines. And so when you take that idea and you consider it in your own life, you know, like being good or being bad and practicing virtue or choosing evil, you start to ask the questions then, am I even in charge of doing that? And it becomes a really important question for a person to be able to answer. And of course, we have the full, beautiful answer as Catholics, because we don't just stop at particles. We also know that the human person is body and soul, and we have a rational soul. And so I do like to talk about how to sort that out, because it doesn't mean we're contradicting or breaking any laws of physics to say that we have free will and I can decide to wave my hand right now if I want to, and I didn't like contradict what the atoms and molecules were supposed to be doing. It actually all fits together in a very beautiful way, which gives you some insight even deeper into what it means to be human, an insight you just don't get if you're sticking with the atheistic explanations.
888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH. If you'd like to talk with Dr. Trisenkos about this idea of free will, maybe you are convinced that science has shown us there's no such thing as free will. Maybe you are convinced otherwise but would like some explanation. Again, give us a call, 888-318-7884. If Stephen Hawking says we're just machines. Is he saying that it's possible that a machine could have free will, or is he saying we're just machines and machines don't have free will, so by implication we don't have a free will?
Yeah, that's what he's saying. He also uses that phrase that free will is an illusion.
Okay.
He says it seems that we're no more than biological machines determined by physical law. He doesn't think that machines could have free will, but that we might not actually have it, even though we think we do. It's just our matter playing tricks on us.
So do any of these people propose a theory of, if we don't have free will, how could our minds conform to reality? Because you would say that if you don't have free will, if you're just determined by the spin of the atoms or of the electrons or something in your head, then how would you get your mind to conform to reality? Then you would never be making decisions. This is true and that is not true.
Yeah, exactly. That's where it all falls down. And I mean, I'm just to oversimplify it, if you deny the soul, if you deny God, you deny the soul, and you deny anything spiritual, you literally deny your own ability to think freely. It's funny, they call themselves free thinkers, but you literally deny yourself your own ability to make choices or to think freely or to have an opinion or to search for truth. So there's all kinds of sophisticated arguments trying to get around that, but it all, if you chase them down, you can put your finger on the point every time. It comes down to the presumption that there is no soul. And so the conclusion is determined by the presumption before you even get started. So it's kind of a waste of time.
Well, right. And we would normally, as Christians, would say, or particularly as Catholic Christians, we would say, well, the it's not that the brain, the soul is just totally in control of the brain, or that the brain is producing the soul or something like that. It's that together we are our body and our soul, and brain, the brain being part of that, brain seeming to be the locus of the interaction between body and soul. I mean, that's hard to even talk about these things, but we are body and soul. We're not just spirits trapped in a machine. We're not just machines lacking spirits. That's what we are. We're a composite of body and soul.
Right.
It seems to me that explains a lot, because many of the objections to free will say things like, well, if I poke you in this part of the brain, that's going to make your arm go up. So that means that your brain is in control, and it's just a matter of what's poking where in the brain.
Yeah, exactly. And I think sometimes people go too far the other way, not wanting to study the brain science, not wanting to study everything that we can know about how much we are controlled by the brain, because obviously, you know, if you're hungry, you're going to be grouchy, or if you're tired, you're going to be grouchy. Obviously, there's an interplay between the brain and the mind. But some of the most interesting questions right now, I think, are trying to figure out how those two things work together. And so that's the right approach, I would argue, that to thinking about neuroscience and to thinking about Catholic theology as well. Like if you're using both of those disciplines to try to understand what it means to be human, you have a much fuller answer. So there's no harm, there's no danger in saying, well, sometimes people truly have a medical condition where they suffer from delusions. Therefore, maybe all reality is just what our brains tell us that it is, and we don't really have any soul or spiritual ability to think. I don't think we have to do that. Just because that can happen, it doesn't mean that we don't also have a soul. It just adds more to how we can try to understand what it means to be human. And I always, you know, the reason I like thinking about it like that is really seriously personally for myself and my own life and trying to figure out how to make decisions. I love thinking about, I have this rational soul made in the image and likeness of God, and I'm made to search for truth, and I'm made to search for goodness. And even though I may not get it all right, especially if I'm really hungry or grouchy or tired, I have the ability, I have this power of intellect and free will to chart my own journey as I go through life. And I remember learning about that when I converted, and it was so exciting. It's like, I understand why I'm what my life is supposed to be about now. I'm supposed to ask for the grace to do God's will every day and try to get to heaven by that last moment that I take my last breath.
Dr. Stacy Trosenkos is our guest this hour. She is the author of Particles of Faith, a Catholic guide to navigating science. We're talking about free will and our atomic makeup, so to speak, the scientific view of who we are and what we are. Does that prove that there's no such thing as free will, or do we have free will and thus are we required to be good boys and girls and not get coal in our stockings? 888-318-7884, the number, 888-318-7884. We'll be right back with your calls for Dr. Stacy Trosenkos on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
We're here for you. Give us a call today on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers here. Christmas is coming, and you could buy your loved ones the latest electronic gadget that they don't need, or you could get them something that is going to bring them closer to Jesus Christ. I want you to know about our Catholic Answers annual Christmas sale, with hundreds of great faith-building resources all on sale at 20% off when you enter the promo code WINTER at checkout. We have great new resources on Scripture, on church history, the saints, Bible prophecy, and so much more. There's no better time to stock up on resources to build up your faith and the faith of those around you. Call 888-291-8000 or go to shop.catholic.com right now to take advantage of what is truly the best Catholic sale on the internet, going on now through the end of the year. And remember, enter the promo code WINTER at checkout to save 20% on hundreds of great resources throughout out the store.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 1, when Mary was found to be with child, Joseph decided to divorce her quietly to prevent her from suffering public shame. An angel then appeared to him in his sleep, telling him not to fear taking Mary as his wife, that it was by the Holy Spirit that she had conceived. When he awoke, he took her home as his wife. The Gospel says he had no relations with her until she bore a son, and he named him Jesus. Note, the word until does not always suggest that something is to follow. It can also mean up to a point and no further, as when one might say, he was faithful until he died. Certainly, we don't mean that he was unfaithful after he died. Likewise, Joseph had no relations with Mary until and after the birth of Jesus. The rest of his life continued to be colored by his complete submission to God's sovereignty over him. May we follow his lead. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. A very blessed Advent to you. Our guest this hour, Dr. Stacy Trosenkos, her book, Particles of Faith, A Catholic Guide to Navigating Science. Dr. Trosenkos is a scientist and a theologian, and so we're always so happy to have her here to talk about scientific things with us. We're talking about free will and whether or not it exists, or whether science gives us any clue that it might not exist. 888-318-7884, the number, 888-318-7884. And I don't want to forget that as we approach Christmas, we're trying to say hello to our friends around the world. So if you are watching from South America today, anywhere in South America, and you're watching on Facebook, say hi and tell us what country you're watching from. And so we get to say hi to as many friends as we can over the air in South America. Again, 888-318-7884 is our number. Before we go to calls, and we do have lots of calls on this topic, Dr. Trosenkos, you were, as a chemist, you worked on photosynthesis. Wasn't that right? It was part of what you did?
That's what I did in graduate school. Yeah, we were trying to simulate photosynthesis on artificial nanocomposites, studying other possible sources of energy.
Yeah.
You know, the thought was if we could develop something you could shine light on and produce energy, then that would be a viable alternative. It was very experimental, of course, but I really got a feel for the complexity in trying to capture light energy and change ancient chemical energy.
I know that. I'm always struck by that in my chemistry work. You don't believe me. I did want to ask a question though for kids who are listening. I know that they're with a scientist on there. I wanted to know if you know anything about bioluminescence and if it's possible for living things to glow and how it is possible for living things to glow. My reason being that I wanted to know if it's actually possible for something to glow so bright on an animal that it would be able to lead a sleigh through the fog if there were fog. So do you know anything about bioluminescence?
Well, it is a particular kind of light giving from a chemical reaction. So yes, there could be some kind of portion of a body that could lead a sleigh through the fog if it had these chemicals in it called luciferins, which can react with oxygen in the air, and in the presence of an enzyme called luciferase, which catalyzes this reaction. And when it causes the oxygen in this luciferin molecule to react, when they come together, they form this activated complex. And the product of that chemical reaction, when the oxygen and the other molecule come together, is this, not just this, there's this excited state when they hit each other, but one of them kind of lingers around for a while, the oxidized form of this luciferin. And for a while, the electrons in that product are all excited because they had so much energy in that reaction, and they stay there for a while. And then a little later on after the reaction, they start to relax to the ground state. And as they relax in those very precise energy levels in that molecule, they give off light that is a characteristic color depending on the wavelength and the energy that was in the electron levels in that molecule. So if there was enough of that molecule there and it gave off that color of light, it's possible to have a nose that could guide you through the fog.
Ah, so science has proven that the story of Rudolph could be true. I just need to clarify something. When you say luciferins, it sounds a little bit anti-Catholic or maybe anti-Christian, but loose there means light,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not Lucifer.
Light. Yes. Yeah. The word, yes, it comes from light bringer. It's Latin for light bringer. It's the generic term for light-emitting compounds found in organisms.
Okay. All right. So we have proven scientifically that it is biologically possible for a reindeer with a red nose to lead other reindeer through the fog.
Yes. And if he did, it's because his nose is following the laws of physics that God created.
Amen. All right. Let's go to our first call. John in Eden, Maryland, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM station 130. You are on with Dr. Stacy Trusenkos. John, your question.
Yes. Thank you. Your reindeer example didn't explain why they can fly, though.
So oh, well, that's another show. That's a different show there, John.
This is I was listening to NPR about 3 years ago, and they had a topic. The topic was cycles, actually, but one of their stories in TED Talk stands for technology education, so I don't even remember. But one of their cycles were people that had gotten brain injuries from bleeds or trauma. And when they woke up in the hospital, they didn't have their short-term memory. And when they were asking their family members, their daughter, whoever, what happened to them, and it was explained, they would have a response to that, and then they would forget. And then they would ask the same question, and then they get it explained again, and they would have the same exact response. So that seems kind of like at some point you have a programmed response. How does that fit in with free will if people kind of are programmed to repeat and say the exact same thing over and over again?
Yeah, I struggle with questions like that too. And I'm not an expert in neuroscience. I mean, if you say neuroscience to me, I'm still thinking about atoms and molecules. So I'm at a different level than the big brain science. But speaking theologically too, I would approach that, like, that's an interesting question. It does sound like it negates the idea of free will, but probably the better answer isn't that there is free will or there isn't free will, but that there's some intermingling in there. There's some insight to be found in those kind of studies about just how much the brain chemistry can affect what goes on in our mind, because we do know that the two can affect each other, that they're one. We just don't understand totally. I don't understand. And again, a neuroscientist could probably educate me better there. I don't understand where one ends and the other begins. And I don't think that's even the right way to think about it. They're one together. They're united. It's hard for me to understand. So I would say on something like that, it doesn't prove there isn't free will. It just proves that the brain does have an awful lot of control over what the rest of our body does or what we say. And that's not all that different from teaching small children how to read or how to come to the same conclusion when they add 2 + 2. There's a certain amount of training that goes on in teaching children certain things. And I'd also be interested in what you think about it, Dr. Eden, because you may have, I'm sure you surely have thought about this as well, probably more than I have.
Dr. Eden?
What, myself?
John.
Yeah.
No, he's in Eden.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, so have you thought about this, doctor?
Are you talking to me?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm asking you.
Oh, John, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not Dr. Eden. Yeah, I'm John from Eden.
Yeah, right. That's where that's where the confusion
reading.
Was.
Okay. I'm so sorry, John.
A little bit. No, it just worried me a little bit. You think about those same things that you confess in confession every time you go, and you wonder, am I just programmed that way that I'm never going to break this kind of thing? You know, I just think of this as a dog returns to his vomit, so a man returns to his sin. I just wonder how much of that was, my free will, and how much of it was just that's the way I'm programmed.
Probably there's a lot to how we are programmed on certain things. I definitely think there's a lot to what goes on in our brain that affects what we can come to conclusions in our mind. But I also think overriding all of that, which is one of the importances of learning to practice virtue so strongly, like making it a real thing that we consciously try to do in our lives, I think it is very important to learn how to recognize when you are actually changing your thought process. You know, like when you're starting, you know how they say, if you have a bad thought, don't bring a Coke and sit down at the table and sit down and discuss with it, or you have a negative thought, to try to train the negative thoughts out of your mind and focus on something more positive in certain situations, not to dwell on certain things. There are times when we can, and I do believe this, and I've done it, we can stop one thought process and take over with another one. And I don't think the brain chemistry could explain that.
John?
Okay.
Yep. It does raise this point, though, what John is saying, that when we say that we have free will, I think we maybe do have to be clear that we're not saying that we have complete control of our minds, or that our free will is absolute. Our free will comes within the limits of our biological and spiritual reality, which is actually quite limited. So as St. Paul says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I may choose something, but still not really be able to do it. Dr.
Right. Yeah. And that's where, when St. Thomas Aquinas talks about the power of being human, that to realize our fullest power as humans, he's talking about our potential, that you do that by practicing virtue. The theological virtues of faith, hope, and love, and the cardinal virtues of prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. When you actually consciously start practicing those things, I do think you learn to, I don't want to say mind over matter, but it is kind of like that. You learn to control your thoughts. You learn self-control. You learn to make good decisions consciously. You learn to live on purpose. So I think, the way I look at it is if you're kind of lazy about practicing prudence and you don't try really hard to make good decisions, maybe your brain chemistry does affect too much of what you do, and you're not as in control as you could be of the choices that you make.
Dr. Stacy Trusenkos is our guest. We're talking about free will and science today on Catholic Answers Live. 888-318-7884 is our number. Lots of calls. We'll get to those right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Tis the season for Christmas programming. Join EWTN Radio Christmas Eve and Christmas Day for the 48 Hours of Christmas with Mother Angelica.
You ever notice everybody says around the middle of dinner, oh, I'll never eat again. Then they go for the pie. Oh, I'll never eat again. Oh, I'll never eat again. And there they are, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and they're still eating and they'll never eat again.
The 48 Hours of Christmas, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day on EWTN Radio.
Did the Catholic Church add books to the Bible? Or did Protestants remove 7 books from the Old Testament? Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger takes you on a fact-filled tour through the history of the Bible, revealing the whole story behind the lost books of the Protestant Old Testament. With the latest information and discourse on crucial issues, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger is a book that belongs in the library of every serious student of Scripture. And as a special bonus, if you order online, we'll add an ebook copy of 15 Myths, Mistakes, and Misrepresentations about the Deuterocanon to your order absolutely free. Get your free ebook today. Order your copy of Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger by logging on to our online shop at shop.catholic.com.
Just like the saints of the Counter-Reformation, our own souls are in constant need of reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. We struggle with sin. We become distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. In Reform Yourself, Sean McAfee shows you how these magnificent saints can be guides to your own personal transformation. We all need to reform our souls. Let the saints who reformed the church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're saying hi to folks in South America today because we're making our world our around the world hellos for Christmas. And this happens, Dr. Trusenkos, this seems to happen. Last week we asked for people to say hi from Africa, and then people said hi from everywhere else besides, including South America. Now we say hi from South America, and I got the Philippines and Vietnam and Hong Kong and France and Ireland. Even somebody from a country called, you might be familiar with this one, Texas. But no one yet from South America. What is wrong? South America, just say hi to us. Just let us know what country you're saying hi from, and we'll be happy to say hi to you. It's fun to go around the world getting to say hello to our good friends. 888-318-7884 is our number. We're talking science and free will. Does science teach us that there is no free will? And if there is no free will, is science worth anything? Let's go to Walter in Oakley, California, listening on 1230 AM. Walter, you are on with Dr. Stacy Trusenkos. Your question, please.
Yes, doctor. See, my problem is I was a little child, and certain things happen in life, and you get hurt, and you get destroyed within, but then God's grace is there to support you through this life through baptism. Now, while I'm going through this journey in life, I cannot be reasonable at some times, but then certain times my instincts just to survive makes me stand up for the truth because Jesus has called me to stand up for the truth. So if somebody is going to destroy my wife and children or going to destroy my brothers and sisters that we all are in this world, and there was a covenant made with our first father, Abraham, with blood. Jesus spilled his blood on the cross. So if somebody's going to spill my blood to destroy me and my brothers and sisters, don't I have a free will to stand up for the truth and defend myself?
Yeah, I think that gets into not just, I mean, we certainly all have the free will to do that or not do that, to make those choices. But that is getting more into what ought we to do? What should we do? What is the right thing to do? And if you've been diagnosed with something that keeps your brain from working the way that it might otherwise work, then it's kind of like having a handicap in that you can still practice those virtues and still think through your thoughts and still make decisions, but you have to work harder at it than other people do. But I think to your question about people shedding blood and, you know, do you have the free will to defend yourself? It depends on the situation. I mean, yeah, we all have the free will and the right to defend ourselves if we're in danger. We have the right and the obligation to defend innocent people who are in danger. But then when you get into those moral questions, you get into a whole lot of it depends. It depends on certain things in the situations. And that's where I always come back to practicing virtue, because it's not an easy thing to say we should practice virtue. It's really not that easy. I mean, I think about practicing virtue kind of like I think about deriving physics equations. There's an order to and structure to the thinking, and you can't just assume you're going to do it right just because you can do it. I mean, you can't assume you're going to get the right answer in physics unless you do the problem the right way. You work through the logic correctly. And it's the same way with practicing virtue. It's a very tough thing to do. So, you know, to answer your question, yes, you still can use your free will to follow Jesus and to do the right things and to practice virtue and get better at it and better at it and better at it throughout your life until the very end, when the goal is to fix your soul in goodness for all eternity.
Okay, Walter?
Jesus anointed people to do the right thing with his grace, because we depend on grace completely to survive.
Hey, that's I'm actually fascinated by that point, Dr. Chesenko. So if we say we have free will, but we also depend on God's grace, how do you make sense of that?
I think of it like light, you know, not the same kind of light coming out of molecules and bioluminescence from the energy of electrons, but a holy light, the light that comes from prayer and grace that helps you to think through, like literally, I'm serious, because I'm a very literal person, but I talk about spiritual things. There are times when I say, God, I don't understand what I'm supposed to do in this moment. Like, I don't understand what I'm supposed to do about this decision. And I say, give me the grace to see the truth, to see a good decision, to see my way through this darkness. And as I start thinking that way and praying for that grace, it is like a light that illuminates your way through some of the toughest choices I've ever had to make. And it gives me a great confidence, because I know that when it seems dark all around me on all sides and I can't see my way through the decision in front of me at all, and I'm suffering because of it, I know if I pray for that light, I'll be able to see. It's like a light. It's like having a flashlight when you're lost in the woods. That grace will give me the light to see the way through. So you need both. You need to think. You need to use your God-given intellect and free will and your brain and exercise your brain. You need to do your part. But if you ask for the grace to see your way through the difficult questions, you will get it.
Walter, thanks very much for that call. Let's go to Brian in Bakersfield, California, listening on 1050 AM. Brian, your question for Dr. Stacy Trisenkos.
Hi. Well, it's really a great opportunity and privilege to get to speak with you. And I have to say, the conversation has stimulated so many other questions that tempt me to stray from the question that prompted my call. But when I was listening to your conversation about the intellect and its cooperation with the brain, I was reminded of a conversation between Mortimer Adler, the late great Mortimer Adler, and William F. Buckley, the late William F. Buckley, and they were discussing a book that Adler had written on this very topic. And one of the examples that Dr. Adler gave in illustrating the distinction between the mind and the brain was the ability to abstract universals from particular images. And he said, you can give a dog a million years to abstract. He'll never be able to abstract the concept of triangle from an isosceles. You can show him an isosceles triangle, And he'll never infer or articulate the nature of triangle as such. And so do you think this a germane illustration of the distinctiveness of the human intellect, and how might it apply to other metaphysical questions?
Yeah, I think that's one of the most elegantly simple examples that would explain to anyone, even a child, how we do have a rational soul. We do have the ability for intellect because we can know those things. We can know those abstractions and those universals. And the most intelligent animal out there, and some animals are pretty intelligent. You know, my German shepherds are pretty intelligent. They learn things. They can talk almost sometimes, but they never can do that. They can't abstract. They can't think in terms of universals. They can't sit down and, you know, say what you just said to me at all. They can't even come close to doing that. And there's no animal that can do it. There's a vast, vast gap between what the most intelligent animal can do and what humans can do. And I love that. I mean, St. Thomas Aquinas, he what was his conditional proposition? If he had given this example in the Summa Contra Gentiles, he compares man to animal. If man is an ass, he is irrational. His point is that it's a conditional proposition that those quadruped beast of burdens don't have rational souls. And if you say that man doesn't have a rational soul, then you're saying man is an animal like all the others. And so we are more than animals. We are made in the image and likeness of God. And I love Mortimer Adler's writings on those things. I found a lot of inspiration in his writing on angels because he considers angels as pure minds, very Thomistic. He considers angels as minds without bodies. And he asked questions, even he wasn't Catholic at the time, he was asking questions about what are these minds capable of and how are they like us, although we are not angels. We have bodies. We're hindered by our bodies in some ways because we have to take in information through our senses. That's why we have to do the scientific method. So I love those discussions. I think there's so much to be mined there. I think a lot of it's already been mined and written about and fleshed out in the past, but it's always something that's ever new. It's something that we can talk about and to help, like I keep saying, to understand ourselves better.
Bruce, follow up? Excuse me, Brian.
Well, it's Brian, but yeah, that's okay. I just wanted to say once again, thank you very much, both of you, for the opportunity to enter this discussion, to participate in it. And needless to say, I find it fascinating. Your guest is one of the most compelling and fascinating guests, I must say, with her combination of disciplines and the intelligence that she brings to bear to both of them. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. She also goes to rodeos. That's another thing you should know about her. does that make her more compelling? I don't know, but I'm impressed by it. When's the last rodeo you went to, Dr. Trisankos? Your last rodeo?
It was this summer. I didn't catch the cow.
Oh, you come out here to that rodeo. All right. Well, we're talking free will, and 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-318-7884. You have the free will to pick up the phone and call if you want. It has science shown us that there is no such thing as free will, or in fact, as science shown us many, many wonderful things about the brain, but still not shown us where it is that questions come from and how it is that we come to answers for those questions, unlike every other living creature. We'll be right back with more with Dr. Stacy Trisankos right after this.
This is Bishop Chad Zielinski from the Diocese of Fairbanks of Northern Alaska, and you are listening to Catholic Answers Live.
At Christmas time, we all want to be the one to give that special gift that keeps on giving. That's why we've made subscriptions to Catholic Answers magazine available at a very special price through the end of the year. And now, when you purchase a subscription, you get a subscription to the digital edition added to your order for free. That's right, $10 off one-year subscriptions and $20 off two-year subscriptions, plus a free digital subscription. With a deal like that, it's the perfect gift for friends, family members, seminarians, your priest, or anyone on your list. When you get right down to it, what other gift has the potential to touch hearts and reap eternal rewards? Log on today to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com and sign up friends and family alike for a gift that is bound to make a difference in their lives and the lives of those they meet. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics. Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking book by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can give to anyone as a starting point for helping them to find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teens spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. A blessed and happy Advent to you and yours. And as Christmas approaches, we remind the kids, be good. Don't be naughty, be nice, or all those kinds of things we say. Well, is that really a choice? Do we really have a choice about those things? So our Christmas show is about free will. Maybe no one should get coal in their stocking because no one really has free choice. Or maybe we do have free choice, and that's exactly what we're discussing with our scientist and theologian, Dr. Stacy Trisankos. We go now to Bruce in Los Angeles, listening on the mighty KHJ. Bruce, your question for Dr. Trisankos.
Hi, I'm Bruce from Los Angeles.
Hi, Bruce.
And hi. I think it's great with your guest because it's a computer that brought me back into the Catholic Church. Oddly enough, I call myself I'm a cyber Catholic.
Oh.
And since I've done bionic work, I'm a bionic Catholic. You know, I'm surprised, Doctor, that Stephen Hawking, being as brilliant as he is, would say what he said, because without free will, you can't really discover. We're no different than some higher forms of bacteria that use intelligence or chemical encoded intelligence.
Did you want to respond to what Stephen Hawking said? Dr. Trisankos, go ahead.
Yeah, the logic just doesn't work. I mean, to me, and it's, you know, we've thought about it for a long time, but it's a real simple logic to say that if you don't have free will, you can't think freely. I mean, it's impossible. It's a logical contradiction, literally. I think what's behind that, though, like I said before, it's a presumption you start with that determines the conclusion before you even start the process of thinking. And it comes from denying God. I mean, for the whole logical system to hang together, you have to admit the existence of God. And then you have to admit the existence of the Christian God that says we are created in the image and likeness of God with the powers of intellect and free will, which is, a reflection of the Holy Trinity, how the Father generates the Son and the Son and the Father together spirate the Holy Spirit. It all fits together. But if you start with the presumption that there is no God, then you can't very well argue that there is a soul because you're saying there's nothing spiritual. And if you're going to say there's nothing spiritual, then you are left with nothing but particles and biological machines. The problem with that is when you turn it into yourself, which is why I always come back to what do you think of yourself? I don't know how Stephen Hawking or anybody else can reconcile that, because if you deny God, you're denying your own intelligence and ability to think and make decisions. So you're right on, Bruce. I mean, I agree totally with what you're saying, and I don't know how they make sense of it, except you know how that works when you do see the conclusion of your logic and you just don't want to see it. It's like the little kid that's like knows he's going to get in trouble if he admits to doing X. He knows that he's going to get in trouble for Y as well. And he can see the end of the logical trail. And so he won't go there, just won't let his mind go there. And I think that's what a lot of people do who can't admit the existence of God because they are so beholden to their atheism, or maybe they're afraid to admit the existence of God because they don't know what it'll mean in their lives personally. The good news is it means you get to think. So I agree with you, and I don't know how those – I think it's a good way to evangelize, actually. I think it's a good way to start a good conversation with someone.
Bruce, thanks very much for that call. He said he's the Bionic Catholic. You know, with all these remakes, nobody's remade the $6 Million Man. Are they going to remake that or what? Do you know? I need to look that up. Nick, help me. Look that up. Are we remaking the $6 Million Man or not? I guess the Bionic Catholic got me thinking about that. Again, 888-318-7884 is our number. People saying hi from everywhere around the world. Nobody saying hi from South America, Stacey. I don't know what that is about. But thanks to everybody who said hi from Samoa and Australia and everywhere else. But I can't get one person to say hi from Chile or Argentina or Brazil. Let's go to Doug right here in Southern California, listening on Relevant Radio. Doug, your question for Dr. Trisankos.
Hello, this is Doug.
Hi, Doug.
Hi. Hey, you know what? The question I've got, and it's because I came from the Reformation faith, right? The Reformed Church, along with Lutheran, meaning Calvin, you know, John Calvin and Martin Luther, they rose, you know, in Europe because of the issues within the Catholic Church. But I'm a 2-year trying to become Catholic after all these years of being within the Reformed Church, right? And I guess my real issue is the fact that the Reformed Church, they believe that people that are saved are predetermined to be saved, right? So that's the main question and the main reason why I left, and also because because of that, you know, you have churches that have fallen, you know, under different types of Reformation type preachers. And I'm kind of glad to see that the Catholic Church ran into one of them. The big Crystal Cathedral is now the Catholic Cathedral. So my question is what's your position on that?
On predestination. I've read St. Thomas on that, and I would look, but if I were going to write something out, I would go back and look it up just to be sure I was saying the words right. But it's not to say that God knows everything. Like, God knows all possible logical outcomes. God knows all possible choices any of us could make in every single possible moment. I mean, to say that God knows everything, he's omniscient like that, doesn't mean that we are predestined. We are still able to chart our own course in life. We're still able to pick and make our decisions every second, every heartbeat, every minute that we're drawing a breath. We're able to find our way. God may know what's going to happen in the end, but and that sounds like saying we are predestined, but it's not. It's our own human limitation of not being able to understand exactly what omniscience means. God knows everything. We don't. And so, no, we don't believe in predestination, but we do believe in omniscience. But if God hadn't created us with free will, if God had created all of us predestined already, then we wouldn't have free will, and we would be in the same position as the atheists say. So no, I obviously don't believe in predestination, and I think the reason I can't get my head totally around how God can be omniscient yet allow us to have free will anyway is that I just can't understand what it means to be omniscient completely. St. Thomas had a great way of explaining it, that God knows all possible outcomes that ever could happen. That was the best explanation I've ever found.
Well, Doug, thanks for the call. You have a PhD and you don't know what it, you can't, you don't understand omniscience? I thought a PhD was like, You're just right there. You're right on the verge. No, that's not how it works.
PhD means for science. Omniscience is omniscience, more than science.
Oh, I got that. All right. Kevin in Ohio, listening on 94.5, your question for Dr. Stacy Trusenkos.
Hi. So my question is, my friend asked me this the other day. He said, how can we have free will if God, who creates every, he knows all, right? So he made us, and he knows every decision we'll take. And he kind of knows every circumstance that will affect a decision. He created the universe to have that circumstance. So, like, given all that, then how can we have free will, even though, you know, a decision might feel free, but, like, God made the circumstances that would make me decide whether or not I want to do something?
Well, it's kind of like on Mars. You know how it is on Mars, where there isn't anything living that we know of with free will? There's nothing, like, every particle on Mars, the planet, does what it's supposed to do. Nobody built skyscrapers. Nobody had families. Nobody made new elements for the periodic table. But we can still we do have free will, because we're not limited to those laws of physics. We can override them, so to speak. We can, you know, when a couple gets married and has children, they change the course of a great many atoms for all time, right? And so it's just something bigger than physics. The free will question doesn't belong in physics. It belongs in theology or philosophy. But you're talking about circumstances, too, which is not quite the same thing as saying these atoms and molecules were under these conditions at this point in time. You're even talking about circumstances like was it predetermined that you and I would be talking right now because of all the circumstances that led me to be sitting here and you to be talking there? I think that's called occasionalism, and it is also rejected by the Catholic Church. We don't think that God is creating every moment anew. He holds everything in existence. He's the creator of everything, not bound by time like we are. God's outside of time and space. So that's something to answer fully, I think, would need an essay or a book or lots of books. But that's how I sort the question out.
I'm going to say thank you, because I'm going to try to get one more question in before we have to go here. Richard in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. You are on with Dr. Stacy Trusenkos, and we have very short time. So real quick, your question.
Just a real quick question. My father asked me a question. He says, what makes us different than the animals? And he said, it's our free will. And then I come to learn that through my life now, that is free will just the ability to go against our instincts and make a better decision, a higher order decision versus an instinctual decision? That was my drawing from his conclusion.
Yes.
And your answer, Dr.
Yes,
Stenker?
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. I love the story of, you know, a dog can't make the decision to give a starving child its lunch. You know, a dog can't do that, but we can. We can choose to be hungry to the point of great pain because we will the good of someone else. And so we can override basic physical instincts when we need to. It doesn't mean we have to do it all the time, but yes, we can do that. That's what it means.
Great point, Richard. I'm not sure the starving child would want a dog's lunch, but I guess if that's all there is, maybe. Richard, thanks. Dr. Stacy Trusenkos, again, thank you very much for another great hour. They go quick when you're on.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I always enjoy it.
I just want to remind people, you're going to be at our conference coming up next September. Is it September, right? Next September here in San Diego. It's going to be on faith and science. Wonderful. Theologians, scientists, philosophers will be there. So take a look at that. You go to CatholicAnswersConference.com. Have a very Merry Christmas, Dr. Trusenkos.
Thank you. You too.
Coming up next, Carlo Broussard will be here. We're going to talk about the whys of the Catholic faith. Why do we believe that? Why do we do that? Why do we think those things that we think as Catholics? Well, in part because God gave us free will and intelligence so that we could think these things out, ask questions, and get answers. And these are the answers we have come to. We'll be right back with Carlo Broussard on Catholic Answers Live right after this.